coming up on Thunder Pop.
It is the 54th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast. I'm Stephen Presley, and I bring you
Johnny Lightfoot.
And guess what? We're here to talk Last Jedi, to nobody's surprise. And this is actually for us, this is our version of, for our first reaction that we've done. We were going to come on sooner, and actually what happened is me and Reed were at the theater together with all of the equipment from the studio. We were going to record right there in the lobby. Okay? And we did some recording before the movie without any problems. And then we were ready to go after the film and do kind of a mobile setup and do a first reactions.
Right.
But what happened was, and the theater had no problems with us setting up and doing it. So that wasn't the issue. We were at the Evo and Kyle. And it's a huge lobby. It's like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Evo and Kyle.
No, but I've seen images.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, it is like a galactic spaceship. I mean, the place is humongous.
Right.
It's Dave and Buster's on steroids with a movie theater. So we were going to do our first reactions there, but here was the problem. As respectful Star Wars fans, respectful of other Star Wars fans that were going into seeing the film as we were leaving, we could not find a place in the theater where there weren't fans, like within, a teardrop from us.
Right.
You know, we were basically right, breathing down our necks would be Star Wars fans, either to the left or to the right, and even in a huge place like that. And then the other half of the place where we probably could have gotten away from Star Wars fans was too loud because they had thumping, like music playing. It was close to the arcade, and it wouldn't have hurt us. Clearly what we were saying. So we could have gone outside, but the problem with sitting up outside was it was really cold and windy.
Yeah, it was.
And we didn't want to stand out there and freeze our ass. It would have been the freeze your ass version of first reaction. So long story short, we didn't do it. And then everybody got busy for a couple of days. So we're finally here on the Wednesday following the weekend of, which now seems like forever, but it's really not. I mean, we haven't even had the second weekend yet.
No.
So, but we've seen, now we've had some time to process. How many times have you seen it now?
I've now seen it three times.
Three times. I couldn't remember if it was three or four that you were going to be. The fourth one was going to be on Christmas.
Yep.
When you go back to see it with your friend. So, yeah, so we got that. So so the good thing about this is the, what did you call it? The rose-colored glasses?
Yeah. Much so. You have to kind of take those things off.
You take them off now, because if you got this on the first night, the glasses are very rosy. We're coming out, and we're coming out, and we're trying to process everything. So I was speechless, and I think Reed, and I only had one thing I had to say that night with the mic not on, and that was, I'll get to that and tell you what that was, the first thing that I could only think about for the first, hour. And then that was the thing. And then Reed really was like, I don't even know if I could talk right now. I'm kind of hungover and speechless. Yeah. Would you have had that same sentiment if I showed up at the Alamo Draft House after you had seen it?
Yeah. I mean, myself and the three other people who went that night, like we're all big Star Wars fans, and we walked out and we didn't really have anything to say to each other. We didn't even really talk about the movie, not just because it was late and we wanted to get going and some people had to work at early the next day, but it was more like, I was like, yeah, I just feel weird. I was like, I don't know how to describe it. I need to think and I need to process it. I need to see it again. Cause it's just like Luke says in the trailers, this isn't going to go the way you think it is.
Yeah. No, there was some foreshadowing there in the trailer, and the line from that movie was great foreshadowing they used in the trailer. It was a kind of a, this is for you fans. This is not for Rey. This is for the fans more than it is for Rey.
Yeah.
Because I think Rey was more prepared for what she came to confront than what we were.
Yeah,
what definitely. We as fans had to come and confront. So anyway, so long story short, we didn't do that because we didn't want to blow it, because other people were going to hear us. They're standing right behind us, or they're standing right next to us, and we were going to spoil it for someone else. I respect. We shut down and went home, and now we're here, and so we've had time for everything to digest and process a little bit. Johnny's seen it four times, so there's going to be analysis like you would not believe. Mm-hmm. So we'll hit that. We're going to hit reactions, and then we're going to talk about what people have been saying now on the internet for the last, they've been saying a lot for the last few days. So we have opportunity to have a larger window of that than what we would have had a few days ago. And then this is going to be two shows. We're going to do two back-to-back, kind of the post Last Jedi shows. I'm going to get together with Reed and we're going to do one. And that will be the continuation of the one I started with him, where we compare predictions side by side and see what predictions were clickbait and which predictions had some validity to it. And it's interesting now because I've had time to kind of look at them side by side, some of the stuff we looked at to see where. And on that episode, on the 11th hour, I predicted the death of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
But then I had to go on Instagram Live 5 minutes before I walked in the theater and took it back. I took it back. But do you know the good thing about Instagram Live? It goes away after 24 hours, so it does. It never happened. I didn't take it back.
Well, if we cut back to our 2015 Force Awakens, I said
yes.
Han dies in 7.
Yes.
Luke dies in 8. Leia in 9.
And that is pretty much what's going to. I mean, the only thing that's going to maybe screw that up is the fact that Carrie Fisher died before they filmed 9.
Right.
And they so she might die off camera between 8 and 9.
Yeah.
But it'll be acknowledged that she died in 9. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what they're heading into. All right, well, let's play some theme music and now it's bringing back all these emotions all over again. I have nothing. I'm like just blown away by Last Jedi, and for various reasons. And I think some of the stuff I'm going to say is not what you might think.
Mm-hmm.
To reference what they were saying. But at first, I gotta hear what you think after 4 screenings of the film, and you've had some time to let things process. Where are you at on Last Jedi? Because this film is the most divisive Star Wars film for sure.
Oh, by far.
Yeah.
By far. So, like I said, after I came out the first screening, the only word I could come up with was weird. Not in the movie, but how I was feeling. And then I went and saw it the next morning by myself, and it really grew on me. And I feel like a lot of that had to do with my expectations and my predictions, and Rian Johnson really turned it on its head. And then I saw it again and it grew on me even more.
So that first night after you saw it with your group, you come out of the theater and y'all were kind of speechless, and then you kind of went on your way. Mm-hmm. Y'all kind of went on your way.
I mean, I only had to sit on it by myself for like 12 hours, and like mm-hmm. 8 of that was sleeping. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, leading up to it, I was like, you know, walking up to the theater and I was like, all right, I know what's coming. So let me just watch this as a movie. Let me not watch it as like this big event Star Wars movie. Let me watch mm-hmm. it as a movie.
As a film
and
on
it,
its own.
It got so much better. And then the third time, it got so much better. And like, if you would have asked me to rate it that opening night, like right when I walked out, you would have said, hey, rate this or rank it among the Star Wars movies. I would have put it behind Empire, A New Hope, Force Awakens, Return of the Jedi, Rogue One, and then I would have had Last Jedi and then the prequels. After my second viewing, I was like, Empire, A New Hope, Last Jedi, Force Awakens.
Wow.
Then Jedi.
So it climbs after multiple
screenings.
And
then the third time, I was like, Empire, Last Jedi, A New Hope, and then so on down mm-hmm. the line. So every time, and I've been attributing it to the anti-Episode 1 way of feeling, whereas I remember when I saw episode one the first time when I came out, I was like, this is the best Star Wars movie ever. It's so great. The lightsabers, blah, blah, blah. And then every time I've watched it, it just gets less and less to where I never watch that movie anymore. I watch the documentaries on that movie more than the movie itself.
Wow. What about Revenge of the Sith, though? That one you could probably handle. If it's on TV,
Revenge of the Sith is the only prequel where I can legitimately say I could, if I was in the mood, I could watch it beginning to end.
Yeah.
And you know, I might do laundry or something during, but
sure.
But it's the only prequel where I can legitimately say I don't mind like popping the disc out and shoving that thing in there.
Yeah, let me see the, you know, Anakin make the final turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
The birth of Darth Vader and all that cool stuff that they had there kind of at the end. And yeah, that was definitely the redeeming piece of work from the originals, from the prequels. Yeah, you know, I walked out. I probably liked it more than you that night, but it was the next day. Then I was like 24 hours later, I think I liked it less than I did when I left the theater because I started thinking about, you know, I'm not completely right with what they did with Luke Skywalker's character. And oh, by the way, this is a spoiler.
Yeah.
Yes. Full of spoilers.
Yeah.
So I should say that right out of the gate before we go any further. There's going to be spoilers galore. The spoilers on the car are dragging on the ground. They're in full effect. So if you have not seen Last Jedi, if you're a person who decided you like to wait because you don't like the crowds, right. I know people that have phobias of crowds. They don't like to get. They don't like the crowded places, so they would not have done well in the first weekend going to see it. And I know this guy; he's a big Star Wars fan, but he does have this thing, a phobia about being around a lot of people at once. So he's probably a person that waits till January to see it. So those are the people that we're saying this for you. If you go watch our pre-shows,
yeah,
and then stop there, and then come back to this show in January if you're one of those people. But anyway, yeah, so. I probably was less right about what they did with Luke Skywalker's character on the, not fully, not across the board, but for someone like me, that I feel like there was, this film is, for me, was like, you get it, the date, somebody you wanted to go out with, and this is a guy wanting to date a girl, or a girl has been wanting to go out and get a date with this guy, and it's like the hottest person on the block, and they had a crush on him for a long time, and this person is just magic. When they see him, they tingle, and that was, for me, that was Last Jedi, getting that date with that person, and then I'm on the date, and it's, everything's going great. You know, Luke Skywalker's taking the lightsaber, the way he threw it off to the side when we finally saw what happened after Rey hands him the lightsaber, his reaction, I'm like, oh man, this is everything I had hoped for. And for me, it was like if you got to go out with that person and then it's everything you thought it was going to be, and then suddenly they start to get close to you, and not everything they say, but every other sentence. So not one sentence, but the sentence in between, they have breath that smells like death. But it only comes in intermittently.
Right.
So you're able to sit there and be like, oh, wait, no, the breath doesn't stink here. Well, oh, shit, there it is again. Oh, wait, no, it smells minty fresh now. I want to kiss him. I want to make out with him. Oh, no, I just want to leave. I want to run the other direction. There's that breath again. For me, that was Last Jedi. Now, granted, I haven't been on my second. I'm supposed to go see it again the second time during the holidays before the Christmas season's over, so I have not been again. And with the new baby, if it had time, I would have. With the new baby, it was a little hard to get out right away to go see it a second time. It was hard enough to get out the one time, but I made it happen. But for me, that's what it was after like a couple of days. I was like, yes, it was so perfect. And then I got on YouTube and I pull up, trying to see what other people were saying about it. And Hello Greedo agreed with me on that exactly. It was almost the same review he gave for it. So the things I thought, and kind of similar to what he was thinking was, and for him to hear someone else say it, it kind of confirmed it for me. I thought some of the stuff on, was it Canto?
Canto Bite.
Yeah. Canto Bite. I didn't want that gone, like some people have been saying on social media. I didn't want all that gone, but I thought that could have been chopped down considerably. I thought there was a little bit, and I thought for me it was disrupting the best part of the movie. And the best part of the movie for me was the stuff with Luke and Rey on Act Two. And I just, when I would be starting to get into it, oh, there's that breath again. It smells like death. Stop doing this. Mm-hmm. Stop bringing this. And I just thought it was a little bit like, some of the stuff in the casino for me was like bad George Lucas.
Yeah, like it felt very prequels a little bit in some places.
Yeah, so I just thought, that's why I thought they could have scaled that down some. I liked the effort to bring that to life, but I thought they could have scaled that bad boy down. Maybe it's easier said than done. Maybe once they invest that kind of money in their visual effects,
mm-hmm.
they go to the visual effects department and say, we're going to cut this back 10 minutes. They'd be like, fuck you. You know how much money you're talking about going out the door at mm-hmm. Disney? So maybe that's kind of the conflict there. Maybe it was easier said than done for Rian Johnson. And there was an hour of this film that was cut that we're going to probably see some new scenes added in during director's cut. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. This is not Batman versus Superman for me. This was still a very entertaining film. But I just thought it was also bipolar. Like the stuff that was great was mind-blowing great. Like some of the best stuff I've ever seen in Star Wars. The things that I always had hoped for in a Star Wars film coming to life. And then the things that were, for me, like you said, bad, were kind of prequel bad. But anyway, I'm here to hear like what you... And I want to ask you, I got a hot take for you.
Uh-huh.
We'll just do this as a new segment. We'll call it a Thunder Take.
Thunder Take.
Okay. That this movie could very well be the most divisive movie to hit theaters since Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ. Am I going overboard there?
No, not at all. Because Star Wars is almost like a religion to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And to a lot of the hardcore Star Wars fandom, this movie to them went in a completely different direction than so many of them were thinking and hoping for. And so you have, out of the hardcore fans, you basically have I don't think with the general audience, I think the general audience likes it. Mm-hmm. But I think with the hardcore Star Wars fans, you have almost a 50-50 split of mm-hmm. either love it or can't stand it for whatever reason. Whether it be, scenes like the stuff with Canto, or this isn't the Luke, mm-hmm. that I wanted, or Snoke or Kylo Ren or Rey's, Mary Sue, whatever,
mm-hmm.
any of that, it's almost a 50-50 split. So yeah, definitely divisive.
Yeah. And there were people that didn't like Force Awakens. There's always going to be that group, the small group. There was that I would say it's probably about 10% that didn't like Force Awakens, and there were that fan group. But is there going to be always a population of Star Wars fans that
they're never going to be happy?
They're never going to be happy.
No,
are we at that? We pretty much.
I think
come
so
to that?
Because those were the people who they after Force Awakens came out. Oh, it's just a remake of Force Awakens, and then this comes out, and they're like, oh, this isn't Star Wars enough.
Mm-hmm.
So which do you want?
Yeah, it was one extreme to the other in that opinion.
Do you want it to be like a throwback Star Wars tale, or do you want something different? Because you all wanted something different, and now that something really different came out,
mm-hmm.
where do you go from there?
Does Disney focus group these movies like the Star Wars movies? Do you think behind closed doors they're I've done some focus groups, not lucky enough to get called to do one for Disney or a Star Wars, a Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done some, I came in and tried sports drinks one time and had to give my opinions on what flavors I liked the best. So do you think that Disney, Kathleen Kennedy, sets up shop at one of these research companies? Do you think they do focus groups for trying to get the best of all what Star Wars is supposed to be from fans' opinions?
I don't think so.
Do you think they listen to what's on social media and it affects their directions they go? Do you think they let that control them at all, or do you think it's just the opposite?
Nope, opposite.
Yeah.
Like, even Rian Johnson shut it, like, he basically quit replying to Twitter.
Yeah. Comments. Oh, I know he did after the film. The day after the film, I'm sure he did.
He basically shut it off. I mean,
yeah,
he's set. He's got his three movies. He made the movie he wanted to make. He made the movie Kathleen Kennedy, Disney, Lucasfilm mm-hmm. Agreed for him to make. They wanted to take Star Wars in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I see it, the more I completely agree.
Now, you have it up. Now, you've moved it up. After four screenings, you moved it up to, was it number two or number three?
Number two.
Number two, on, right behind Empire.
Yep.
Do you also do you think also we're at a point in time where we're Star Wars Lucasfilm is going to spend the rest till eternity trying to chase Empire Strikes Back? They're just never going to catch that in the eyes of fans.
I think they'll. No, I mean, it's like trying to chase the what was it, like the 96 Chicago Bulls.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no basketball team that's ever going to be better.
Yeah.
Or the undefeated Dolphins football team in the 70s. Uh-huh. No, I think now, I think they feel like this was a good way for them to make a nice break
mm-hmm.
Between what people expected and where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, you can't live and die with the Skywalker clan forever
mm-hmm.
because Disney wants to make movies about Star Wars forever.
Yeah.
As long as they hold the property. And
they probably will do just that. They'll be able to do that.
But as long as you keep making it Skywalker, 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 you're making this galaxy, which is huge, you're making it small.
There was some criticism about that, too, before Last Jedi, about, oh, how much longer can they just go with the Skywalkers as their central storyline?
Yeah, because if you think about the Skywalkers, and you think about, okay, attribute the galaxy of Star Wars to the history of the United States. So the United States has been around over 200 years now.
Yeah.
The Kennedys were like the golden family of the U.S.
A dynasty, yeah.
For you know, at least a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
But in the grand landscape of the history of the U.S., it's a very small portion.
And so, they also kept getting killed off.
Yeah. Like
the Kennedys.
So if you think of the galaxy as being like, you know, spanning thousands of years, yes, the Skywalkers can be this golden chariot of storytelling, but maybe it only takes place in a very small portion of time within this universe.
Yeah. Does it also give them something kind of in their back pocket for when they need to reboot this or reinvigorate the Star Wars? You know, Star Trek is going through this in recent years where they have to do something every so often to kind of reinvigorate that.
Well, and now they're doing it rated R with Quentin Tarantino.
Which is exactly because the last one didn't do, was it Into Darkness?
Yeah.
Didn't quite do as well at the box office as some of the previous recent films. And then that last one they did with the Next Generation crew kind of tanked. So they took a break and then they came back with the prequels with Abrams. Mm-hmm. And they did, the first two did well box office wise. Then the third one comes out, didn't do quite as well box office wise. And I thought three was better than two.
Yeah, I did too.
I think two not being as good might have hurt three because mm-hmm. there wasn't as much excitement around three. It's unfortunate because I thought three was a much better film than two.
Definitely.
And much less of a retread that two was for me. But, and overall, one's still probably the better of the three new ones. But anyway, they've tried. So yeah, now they're talking about doing something really that's going to shake things up as a Quentin Tarantino led Star Trek franchise, but that's an example there. Star Wars will eventually go through having to do something, say, you know, 10, 15 years from now, 20 years. I don't know how long it'll be for Star Wars. I think they might take a little, I think it'll take longer for them to become stale than it did for Star Trek.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why all these people clamoring for Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic mm-hmm. movies or TV shows. I think Disney is saving that for when, like, this current timeline we're in starts getting stale, and then they're like, okay, well, we'll go back 1,000 years and we'll tell tales of when there were thousands of Jedi and thousands of Sith, and it was like a medieval time in the galaxy, so they can refresh it. So you know, they all these
keep,
people who
want to keep a few tricks up their sleeve.
Yeah, so they're not going to come right out of the gates with something like that as a standalone. So they're saving that kind of lore for later.
Yeah. Now, I think, and so Skywalkers, if that's what they're doing, if they really are going to stick with that and not try to change that course in 9, which they still could. They still could change the course in 9 of that if Abrams, you know, knocks out a script that calls for that and they go for it. But they can put the Skywalkers on the shelf for a while, and then when things are starting to see a little bit of maybe a drop in interest, they can pull the Skywalkers back out anytime.
Yeah.
And reconnect and do a Skywalker-led trilogy.
That or I listened to the Legends of Luke Skywalker book, and like all the tales of him going around the galaxy and like finding out more about the Force, and it made his story in Last Jedi make more sense, because I hadn't finished the last two chapters by the time I saw it the first two times, and then the next day I listened to the final two chapters and I was like, wow, this was all leading up to his character and why he was the way he was in Last Jedi. And it kind of stinks that it's in a novel that most people that go to see the movie aren't going to read.
Yeah.
Because after listening to that or, you know, somebody reading it, it makes his character make a lot more sense in the movie. And it stinks that you can't get that kind of backstory in a movie, but I understand why. But it makes his character in The Last Jedi so much more fulfilling.
Yeah, and those do help a lot, those backstories in between. You know, I had ordered it in October for the baby, a children's book, Star Wars book, out of Amazon, Chewie and the Porks. And when I saw that, I was like, I got to get this just because of the name and the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. And Star Wars has a good reputation for the books, you know, for the old Star Wars and the new Star Wars. They have good rep. So I ordered it, and for some reason, I don't know what made me think I'd get it right away, because then I got a note saying, this will ship on December 15th. And I was like, of course. It's got spoilers in it. So it was like clockwork. It wasn't 5 hours after I'd walked out of the theater, it was in my front steps.
Right.
So they had that ready to go. I mean, the UPS driver must have been circling around the block until the film came out, and then started dropping off those books. But it has a lot of, even the children's book has a lot of really good backstory about Chewbacca and what he was doing during that time that Rey was with Luke.
Right. On Act Hanging 2. Out with the Porgs. And
yeah, he was, well, and it has even more origin and history about the Wookiees that we don't get in the Star Wars Christmas special. So it had that Wookiees are always hungry, which not a surprise.
Right.
Wookiees are always hungry, and that's what they think about. They're always thinking about food. But obviously Chewbacca was trying to find some grub on Act 2, and he did go to the natives, the people that were there that had been, they were the keepers of the village that Luke was living in.
Yeah, the keepers.
He went to the keepers to try to find out about fishing on the planet, and fishing season had ended. And so that was a very upset Chewbacca when he learned he couldn't go fishing. So then he had to explore other options, and people that have seen the film, they know. And this is hilarious, because right here with Jazz, we talked about, agree or disagree, does Chewie eat a porg? And he was like, I don't think he eats the porg. And we're like, no, it wouldn't seem like he would eat the porg. It turns out he did not eat the porg, but he almost ate the porg.
Yeah.
He cooked the porg. You know, actually, people that are into compassionate eating, they're not vegans or vegetarians, but they do eat meat. But they believe in compassionate eating, so they believe if you've already killed the animal,
you have to eat it.
Yeah, it's worse to waste it than not to.
I mean, he could have eaten it off screen.
Yeah, so that's the thing. But I agree, it would have been really hard to sit there and eat it in front of those porgs. With the tear. Oh, yeah,
with the big eyes. And
yeah, I would have had to try to find a spot on the Millennium Falcon where I could have gone into a corner, turned away from all of them. And then also the meme came along of which one would you take if you could have one or the other for, I guess, for a pet, a porg, or that...
the crystal fox.
The crystal fox. And I thought crystal fox, because I think the porgs will tear your shit up after seeing the film.
they get into everything. They build little nests and they get into things and
they seem pretty destructive, don't they?
When Luke threw his lightsaber, the first thing the porgs did was like run over there and then
started tapping on it.
I kept thinking, oh no!
I
thought the porg was gonna fry his friend.
Yeah, and what Rian Johnson does is I will credit him on the things that I liked about what he does is how he can put so many different little things, details into a scene like that.
And it's humorous, but you're like, but it fits. And mm-hmm. then you're like, wait, no, I don't know anything of the porgs. I actually went into the movie mm-hmm. not liking them, but just because they're porgs everywhere.
Were you worried that it was going to be too Ewok-y? And then it's like, yes. I don't know if I need
and
this.
And I actually liked the porgs.
You ended up liking them. So that was something you went into kind of apprehensive and then ended up being totally sold.
And like, I had never seen them before. And like, if you would have told me before the movie that a porg was going to lightsaber another porg on accident, I would have been like, yes, that'll be amazing. But instead it ended up being funny and like, you know, when you see like a little kid reaching for like something hot. Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoa, don't touch that. Mm-hmm. And you just see the little porgs and you're like, oh, please don't kill your little friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're really, we're rooting for him. Like, hey, oh, no, don't kill the porg. Don't kill the porg on that. Yeah, do you think, there was an hour cut out of that film. And I had some theories on what, if and I don't know if that whole hour will go back in on the DVD. Do you think
there will be some deleted scenes, but not the full cut, because Rian Johnson even said like this is the cut.
So I got two questions about their theory on that, what was cut. One of them is, do you think there was a chance when Luke is speaking of training, you know, back at the academy training Ben Solo, and then the conflict that happened between him and where he started seeing, felt that Ben Solo had started to turn to the dark side and it was, felt like he was a threat. And of course, that's the infamous scene. One of the best, the flashbacks, first time in Star Wars, yes, flashbacks.
Yep.
And they were some of the best parts, too, for me, were the,
well, yeah,
the backstory.
It was from his point of view, and then you got the real point of view, and it was somewhere in between.
Yeah, and which was great. So we got to see that. That was another little fun thing that was thrown in there. I'm starting to like this film more now we talk about it again. We're starting to talk about the things that I liked were amazing.
Yep.
Better than Empire.
Well, it was a gorgeous movie.
Oh, beautiful movie. All across the board. Costumes, the lighting, the colors. It was very Star Wars, but it was very Star Wars moving forward
mm-hmm.
in so many ways. And the Canto stuff and the casino were the weakest, I thought, of the visual and creation of characters. But, I mean, I just thought that putting the coins in BB-8 might have been a little bit too much. George Lucas.
And apparently that was Mark Hamill that voiced that little critter.
That's right, and I heard that afterwards. The Mark Hamill did voice the critter.
The drunk critter. Yep. Yeah,
which is great. It makes sense. I'm surprised Mark Hamill hasn't been utilized for voicing Star Wars characters in previous films.
Yeah,
it seems like it would have been something that maybe had been thought of as far back as the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised it never happened, but I'm glad we got it now. I think they might happen again sometime. But yeah, the thing here, I had some theories. So when they're talking about how Luke was telling Rey about wanting to start the Jedi's again and training Ben Solo, and how Han, you know, at first was Han Solo about it. And then I thought, well, was there a scene possibly that they cut out that maybe Harrison Ford did Han Solo for a flashback where we see that during that time where he's talking about telling people that he was going to start training their son?
I wouldn't have mind seeing it, but I don't think anything was ever shot.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see that in a book eventually,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, even after everything he went through, I know after the original trilogy, Han was still like, I don't know about the Force, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was probably like, and then Leia was probably like, no, you need, you know.
Yeah, she was on board. She was on board. So then the other one is did the porg actually get the lightsaber in the extra hour of footage?
Oh.
In that mishap?
No. Because at the end of the scene, Rey, like, breaks him up.
Yes.
She mm-hmm. walks over and, like, kind of shoos him away and grabs the lightsaber.
I like the humor in the film. I like the humor in both Force Awakens and Last Jedi. I think there was another part I thought maybe took it too far though was the titties, milking the titty,
the sea cow. Now that was too far, but the expression on Mark Hamill's face after he took a big drink of that milk mm-hmm. was like, "Oh, you want to live here? This is what it's like."
Mm. Yeah, and then you saw Ray's expression back,
like, "Oh God."
Yeah, yeah. It was. Do you think that? What was the best parts of the film for you?
Luke.
That's what I was going to ask you, but I wanted to see if you'd say it without me asking.
I loved Luke, and I, you know,
were you expecting that to be one of your favorite parts?
No,
no.
The other thing is Luke wasn't what I expected, like from a character standpoint. Like I knew he was probably going to be old and grumpy,
right?
Like we had speculated that, but I didn't think he was going to be like this grumpy,
yeah,
and like this completely disassociated with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so like to me, you know, growing up watching Luke Skywalker, my hero as a kid, and I always thought, you know, eventually they'll do a Luke Skywalker, and I never would have thought, I thought he would have been more like Obi-Wan.
Right.
And he wasn't, but after seeing it again and again, and then after finishing that book about him, because Obi-Wan, when he was mentoring Luke, was still 100% Jedi.
Yeah.
Like he was still following the rules of the Jedi, still following his teachings. Luke by now has learned everything he can about the Force. He has also been through, I think, a worse tragedy than what Obi-Wan went through, having to what he thought kill his best friend, who turned out to be the biggest murderer in the galaxy. So Obi-Wan, he went into Hermit Ville because of that. Yoda went into Hermitville because he felt like he failed not beating the Emperor. Luke, he went into hiding not because he failed at resurrecting the Jedi, but because of his shame for what his like his lapse in judgment for, you know, a couple seconds might have led to the deaths of thousands or millions, possibly more in the future with Kylo now being supreme leader.
Yeah, and then we now know from watching that he had that infamous scene where he went to Ben Solo in the middle of the night and raised his lightsaber.
Well, because he read it, he went deep into Ben and he saw the darkness.
Yeah.
And he didn't see any light in there. And so he basically saw, like, what's going to happen if I let him become the next Vader?
Right.
Like, how many lives are going to die? And you think about it, like, and you're like, well, Luke Skywalker would have never done that. He wouldn't have raised his lightsaber to a, you know, a teenager, a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about it, though, how many people, if they went back to Hitler as a child
mm-hmm.
and had the foresight to know what he was going to cause, who wouldn't at least have for a split second that momentary lapse to think, I need to end this, and then maybe your better judgment takes over, and you're like, I can't do this. But at least for a split second, you're going to have that, like, if I can stop millions of people from dying by, you know, killing my own nephew, granted Hitler wouldn't be your nephew, but if I can stop this, and I have the foresight, like, I know I have the power, so I'm seeing the future. If I can stop this now, and then his emotions got the better of him, and mm-hmm. he held back.
And then, of course, but timing-wise, Ben Solo wakes up, turns around, sees him still, just the part of him with the lightsaber, and then that's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, because then he's like, okay, everything Snoke has been telling me is true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gosh, you know, and, you know, Luke essentially was a tool, like, Snoke was probably feeding stuff into him, mm-hmm. and then all it took was that little push of, basically, like the Emperor was feeding Anakin that the Jedi are not mm-hmm. trustworthy, you know, they're liars, all of this. And then so Kylo was probably at that time still teetering with this, but mm-hmm. then Luke saw a possible future of mm-hmm. him being evil
mm-hmm.
and had a lapse in judgment, which made Kylo be like, okay, yeah, F this. Jedi are bad.
Would that be a good film, the Luke Skywalker and the Jedi Academy being started up, And then culminating with that, all hell breaking loose.
I wouldn't mind it. I would think it would be a cool TV show.
That's actually where I initially thought more TV myself, but then I was like, there's no way they'd get Adam Driver and Mark Hamill. Well, Mark Hamill, I think, would do it. But I don't know if they'd get Adam Driver, because he's already done television, I don't know if he's still doing the HBO series.
No, he's done with Girls.
So he did do that, but I don't know if he'd want to do a Star Wars TV show after this trilogy is done.
Probably not, because he's pretty indie, artsy. Like, I know he does a lot of stage stuff, too.
Yeah, so I get the impression he likes the idea that he's playing the antagonist, because he knows he's probably going to get killed off in 9, and it's probably that they just to do the 3 was fun for him, but he wouldn't want to become a lifer like Mark Hamill.
Well, and I think when they probably pitched his character to him or told him what the character was, he probably thought, oh, this is something I can really sink like some real acting chops into, this person who's torn,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of childish, but then over the course of 3 films, you see him grow and go from this kind of, you know, angsty, I want to be bad, but there's still something pulling at me, to the point where he's just like, you know what? And he said, it's a line also in the trailer. He's like, let the past die. Kill it if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants the Sith to end. He wants the Jedi to end. He wants to start over. But he's just doing it in a very bad way.
Could they have done that TV show, or could they do that TV show and have where Adam Driver just makes guest appearances and maybe does comes in for the finale, and then maybe it pops in. They do a micro seasons, kind of like they do now with X-Files, where maybe they're 8 episodes, do like 4 seasons, but maybe Adam Driver only does a couple episodes per season.
I mean, it would work, I think, but I don't know how likely.
I mean, it's not. It's just all. It's all fantasizing. Like what?
But yeah,
like
I mean, I think it would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, people would watch it.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially once Disney streaming starts in 19.
Yeah, they're gonna need content. So there's so much streaming competition now to acquire content. So you got to come up with some good stuff to get people to subscribe. I mean, now you got Apple that's really cranking it out. Starting to get in the scene, and I mean, you already had Amazon, Netflix, Hulu. So Disney.
Well, and that's the weird thing is that Disney's putting out their new streaming service in 19, but as of last week when they acquired Fox,
mm-hmm.
they're now the majority owners of Hulu.
Wow.
So before they owned 30% of Hulu, Fox owned 30%. They bought Fox as assets, so they now own 60% of Hulu.
Wow. So they had that was part of the deal too. They get that. Wow, that's intense. So they got the 20th Century Fox, and they get Hulu with that. It's pretty big. So I wonder what they would, how that would work into their plans. They're already starting a Disney streaming.
Yeah.
Is that going to, they're just going to close
Hulu? Counterproductive.
Are they going to merge them together?
Well, I don't know, because like Warner Brothers and Sony and a couple other places have stakes in Hulu still. Granted, now Disney is the majority, whereas used to it was in pieces.
Yeah.
But now Disney is the majority owner, so do they just buy them out? Or
yeah, they'd have to buy them out to be able to make a huge decision to be able to. I would think they would have to completely buy them out if they wanted to do a complete merger. Otherwise, they've just got more input.
Yeah.
On things with Hulu. I mean, Hulu is kind of its own brand. What they run.
Well, yeah, because it's majority TV shows,
mm-hmm.
and like the only things I really watch on there is like MasterChef and like
yeah.
like network shows that I don't have time to watch,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're on. So I'll just watch the reruns or whatever on Hulu.
Star Wars is so galactic, Han Solo charismatic, makes me kind of asthmatic. If Anakin had studied his mathematic, maybe he wouldn't have spasmatic. The Force, of course, is wide awake, baby, and Princess Leia is the universe's hottest girl.
Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars.
We're talking about Luke Skywalker, talking about Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill, this is an interesting video where he talked about, they call this video, He's Not My Luke Skywalker.
Fine, I said, Jedis don't give up. I mean, even if he had a problem, he would maybe take a year to try and regroup. But if he made a mistake, he would try and right that wrong. So right there, we had a fundamental difference. But it's not my story anymore. It's somebody else's story. And Ryan needed me to be a certain way to make the ending effective. That's the crux of my problem. Luke would never say that. I'm sorry. Well, in this version, see, I'm talking about the George Lucas Star Wars. This is the next generation of Star Wars. So I almost had to think of Luke as another character. Maybe he's Jake Skywalker. He's not my Luke Skywalker. But I had to do what Ryan wanted me to do because it serves the story well. But listen, I still haven't accepted it completely. But it's only a movie. I hope people like it.
Do you think he pissed Disney off by some? Because I didn't, to me, I didn't even quite think about how much he had actually, I guess the way it was edited in most interviews and the way it was cut, I would hear him say that about how he talked about, you know, this wasn't, I didn't completely agree with the course that Ryan Johnson was taking, but he always capped it off by saying at the end, but I came to love it later, you know, it's something to that degree. Do you think he really didn't like it, the direction?
I think possibly at first, when he probably first read the script.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the same way when I first started watching the movie, it was the way I felt. Like, this isn't my, it's what he said. He's not my Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. Like, and he played the character. He was Luke Skywalker. So mm-hmm. he's probably even more attached to him than I am.
Yeah.
And so, but as I watched it, it grew on me and grew on me and grew mm-hmm. on me. And then watched again, grew on me more, watched again, grew on me even more. And then by the end of the third time, when the climax happens with Luke, I was like, mm-hmm. you know, perfect. I would have loved for Luke to show up with the green lightsaber and just, you know, mow down a couple people, and it would have been a cool way for his character to go out.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought his ending in this was even more powerful than me getting that fan service of Luke fighting with the green lightsaber once more.
Mm-hmm. What color was the lightsaber he had in the...
So it was blue.
He had the blue one.
Which was weird because it was just destroyed in the previous scene.
So that was also one of the... If people were really paying attention...
And I wasn't the first time. So at the first time, I was like...
You didn't catch
it. Oh, wow. Look at Luke. Like, he can take... He can get shot by all these walkers and just walk out and dust his shoulder off.
Mm-hmm. Which is also pretty scary because if that is true at that point in time... He's going to take down the First Order, and then he's going to be... What's going to be happen after that? Is he going to be the guy that...
Well, that's the thing is, this... Because you see the kids at the end, and they're like... They're talking in some other language, but the one kid is basically diagramming that scene...
Yeah.
To where that is becoming another legend of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
To where all these people around the galaxy are going to be like, yeah, the Jedi Luke Skywalker... His last battle, he went out and he got shot at by 10 walkers and just walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a legend of, see, we need a root for him. So that's why he did it, is mm-hmm. it's just adding to his legend.
Here's another idea, another pitch for a Star Wars show. The Legend of Luke Skywalker. And it's an anthology series, but Luke Skywalker is always the principal character. But it's different standalone stories about Luke Skywalker between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah, that's what the book that I finished was.
That would be a show.
Because it was stories like people sitting at a cantina and they were telling stories. And they were like, yeah, I once heard a thing about Luke Skywalker. Okay, tell me the story. Okay, only if you buy me a drink. And they tell the story and it's about him leaping from Star Destroyers and bringing them down. And then, like, they slowly, as the stories progress, by the last chapter,
mm-hmm.
the stories are less fiction, and mm-hmm. they're more realistic.
Wow.
And then, so you're like, okay, so it's like that game of telephone, you mm-hmm. know? And so we're getting closer to the truth. And it's like, so, yes, it would have been cool to see Luke go out and do crazy things with the lightsaber, but at mm-hmm. the same time, after thinking about it, the first time Kylo and Rey have their Force Skype,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they're Skyping to each other yeah. over the Force.
Yeah.
And the first thing Kylo says to her is, you're not doing this. You would have died if you would have tried.
That's another foreshadowing there for like what would happen
okay,
later.
So to be able to force Skype, so you can sense each other and talk to each other within close proximity through the Force.
Yeah.
But to be able to do it over great distances, not knowing where each other are, takes great power.
And that was Snoke that was doing that.
Right. So you obviously know he's very powerful. The only person he's scared of is Luke. And so Luke is so strong that he can project not only his voice, but an image of himself projected in the way he would think Kylo would remember him.
That's why he looked different, because he had the hair was different. He looked a little younger in that scene, and clothes were different.
So he was able to project it to where nobody could tell. The only way you would have been able to tell if you were somebody who saw, like, as his foot skittered across the salt, there was no red. Whereas every time Kylo's feet moved, there was red. I didn't notice it until the second time.
But those are little things they remember.
Because I was looking for it the second time.
See, that's why Rian Johnson gets those details. The things that other people could have botched and messed up a little bit later, and then people would have been calling him out on it.
And there's a story in that Legends where Luke tells about his master, Obi-Wan, sacrificing to buy time for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it simply by becoming one with the Force, to the point where Darth Vader was so perplexed by the empty robe and the lightsaber there that he wasn't paying attention to Luke and Han and Leia
escaping. They get away.
And they got away.
Yeah.
So that, I was like, oh, wow, that makes sense, because Luke essentially just did the same thing. He used all the power he had left.
Did it, but even on a grander scale.
On a grander scale, to project and basically distract Kylo Ren and the whole First Order to
fleet.
Give the new rebellion time to leave.
Yeah, and so you were talking about like the remaining survivors of the Resistance becoming the new rebellion, of course. It's even on a grander scale there, because you're trying to help the remaining members of the Resistance escape, not just, you know, Luke, Leia, Han Solo, Chewbacca, just a handful of them. It was like whoever was left trying to get away. If they get to them and they blow them to smithereens,
it's over.
It's over. The war's over, and the First Order wins. And that's it was a huge deal.
Well, and the other thing, they always talk about, throughout the movie, they talk about a spark that will ignite. So in a sense, not only was Luke buying time, but with these tales and the fact that this story is going to, you know, they said, like, nobody's coming to our distress call.
Yeah.
It's because they've all lost hope.
Mm-hmm.
But if they all see this image of Luke Skywalker coming out of retirement and facing down the First Order by himself, like, it's going to ignite some hope in them again.
Yeah, because they were pretty much downtrodden at that point. So this is the part that I couldn't get. The one thing that stuck with me, that was the only thing I couldn't, when I left theater, it was just stick to my mind. Next morning, it was sticking to my mind, was I could not believe they didn't kill off Leia in 8 on camera. And especially when there were these opportunities where it would have seemed to fit, like when Holdo decides to take, is it Holdo, the Lorander? Mm-hmm. Holdo decides to take the bullet for the team and ride things out.
Maybe Leia takes control.
If Leia took control, and the only reason now, and now that was on the first day, I was like, that seems like a mess up to not do that. And then after, especially in the way it would have happened with Kylo Ren, would have backed off, but then it would have been the other fleet that went in and did it, but it was not to the hands of her son that her death happened. But then I thought it over now I've had more time to think it over. I was like, well, the one thing you lose if you do that, you don't get the reunion of Luke and Leia, the sister and brother, ever on screen that people had waited for. We already missed out on the Han Solo Luke reunion, but we would then have missed out on that. And especially since obviously they shot it, I just don't think they wanted to lose that. I think it's why they didn't budge on that.
And I think that's why after they died, because they had already basically filmed episode 8.
Yeah. It was obvious they had already filmed it.
And so that's why they were like, we're not... I remember Disney came out and said, we're not changing episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of what are they going to change with 9? And apparently, just a couple days ago, JJ put in his first draft to Disney.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and no word yet, but they did say turned it in and got it in quick. Must have really worked the midnight oil to get that, you know, because he had a shorter window. to get that ready than some of the other people. You know what's interesting is that I saw in one of these videos with Mark Hamill, I don't know if you saw it, but he had mentioned how he agreed with more with Colin Trevorrow's direction than what they were going with Ryan Johnson was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed more, and Colin Trevorrow agreed with Mark Hamill on the fact that Mark Hamill actually said this in an interview. He said, "Me and Colin were more on the same page than I was with Ryan Johnson, and Colin agreed with me about the direction of Luke Skywalker and that it should have not gone the way it did." Which is pretty interesting, because then Colin Trevorrow ends up being, you know, taken off of 9. So it's interesting to see, well, what was it that finally got him pulled from 9?
Gosh. I want to say Trevorrow was probably going more towards like your traditional like blockbuster sci-fi action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it, he did Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of money, but it was fun, it wasn't necessarily a great film.
Mm-hmm.
It was entertaining. Yeah, it was entertaining, but there was not a lot of substance there. There was a lot of stuff we had already seen, but with new people and new dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And I think with Star Wars, I think he probably had a similar thing. He mm-hmm. was probably still...
Wasn't anything going to be groundbreaking or surprising? No. Just going to be entertaining.
And then, so, my buddy that I go to the film festival with...
Would that have worked more, though, for being less divisive with the fans, if they had gone that more that direction, though?
Yes, but then you still would have had the same people coming out and saying, you're doing the same thing over again.
Mm-hmm. There's always going to be that group.
Yeah, and I think the reason Disney loves Rian Johnson so much is he's willing to turn everything on its head. And he's willing to take new risks, but then make a good film. Mm-hmm. Like, the acting is good. The camera work is mm-hmm. probably the best of any Star Wars film, because if you watch Force Awakens, camera work is cool, but it looks the same as the first J.J. Star Trek or mm-hmm. most J.J. films. So my buddy, I go to the Fantastic Fest every year. He had the same sentiment as me the first time mm-hmm. walking out of the film. And then he saw it a second time, and he said, I now think it's amazing, brave, awesome how much The Last Jedi takes all of the J.J. Abrams mystery box aspects of Force Awakens and completely discards or answers the questions. It's as if Ryan says, these are cheap gimmicks, not worthy of true storytelling.
Wow. Do you think there's a tug of war going on between JJ and Ryan, where Ryan said fuck you to some of the JJ Abrams stuff? Do you think there's going to be a turn on JJ Abrams' side where he's going to do a fuck you on some of the Rian Johnson stuff?
I don't think so, because from my understanding, they had a good relationship. They worked together.
That's what I heard. He was still executive producer.
Yeah,
he was still on set.
Yeah,
he read the script.
He was still there, and I think JJ, just from his background with like Lost and Star Trek, all that stuff, he really likes playing the mystery box game.
He loves the mystery box game, but he can't do that now in 9, because that's supposed to be the finale.
Yeah, because Rian Johnson basically came out and said, look, we're going to tell a story without just having a bunch of people make predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to tell a good story mm-hmm. that's a good movie and not just leave a bunch of stuff unanswered for the sake of stuff being unanswered.
Mm-hmm. Was killing Snoke, or at least it appears that they killed Snoke, was that possibly a fuck you to fans? Like, well, you speculated on what Snoke was and where he came from.
I don't think it was a fuck you, but I loved it.
That was, for me, the most interesting and fun surprise of the film that I thought worked.
Well, the thing is, if you would have kept him alive and just continued on...
Mm-hmm.
He would have been just another retread of the Emperor.
Palpatine, yeah.
And Kylo would have been another retread of Darth Vader, but a wannabe Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Darth Vader never had the power or the balls
mm-hmm.
to kill the Emperor and take his place. Because that's the whole thing with the dark side users, is the apprentice always murders the master.
Right.
And So for, and then it was a thing for the fan, the people watching too, where you're like, oh, he's going good. No, he's not going good. He's taking over.
Did you buy that when you saw them and then you saw him and Ray together take on the guards, which was a great scene. That whole scene from when they walk in to
the first time I saw it, it got me. Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, she pulled him back.
But were you thinking then who's going to be the villain for Nine? Because that's where I was. It's like, well, if she did turn him to the light side, Snoke's dead. Who's going to be left to be the villain?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just like, really? She did it? And then, like, but then, of course, within like 30 seconds, she's like, we have to go save him. And he's just standing there like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's cool because he, as much as he admires his grandfather, he just did what his grandfather was never able to do.
Yeah.
Which was take control of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Because now he's in control of the galaxy.
Yeah, somewhere the dark side of the Force Ghost of Darth Vader kind of grinned there and said, way to go.
Yeah.
Way to go, grandson. I can see possibly, and tell me if you agree with this, if you think you could see this happening at Nine somewhere. So now, first of all, I think now it's obvious because they said no Leia at Nine. We're not changing Eight. So it seems the only option at that point is she's going to die off camera between Eight and Nine. And then it's going to be mentioned that she died. It also would make sense that they were probably going to have a kind of a gap in the time between Eight and Nine.
That's what I've heard is, whereas Last Jedi was the first movie to like take place right after.
Right after, yeah.
It makes more sense to give it at least like a 2-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
Because as of right now, like the new rebellion or resistance is like nobody.
Yeah.
So they would need time to like build up some forces.
To rebuild, which makes sense. They'll build up their forces.
Give Rey time to train.
She'll have time to train. And then Kylo Ren becoming more feared and prominent, mm-hmm, as a leader of the First Order and becoming more in the eyes of people, the new, you know, threat and leader of that group. I could kind of see two opening with, or Nine opening, with Hux figuring out what happened to Snoke. Because we know that Hux and Kylo Ren, they don't really love each other.
Mm-mm.
They tolerate each other.
Well, and Hux was about to kill him.
He was about to kill him, which another part I loved. Another detail is like, this is great. I love that he was going there, but he got it. You know, he obviously pulled it away before they were able to, you know, Kylo Ren figured out what was going on. But I think that Kylo Ren knows that Hux doesn't like him.
Well, yeah, and also in the Phasma books, Hux actually conspired with Phasma to kill his own dad, who was originally the...
To kill Hux's dad.
Yeah, he killed his own dad.
Wow.
With the help of Phasma.
Phasma's help.
So he could take his spot as the, like, Grand General.
Wow. So he's that conniving...
Yeah, and you can tell he's really weak, but he's sneaky.
He's a sci-fi Nazi.
Yeah.
He's a conniving sci-fi Nazi. And love with what he does with that character and how he does the voice. And it's just like, you know, blow them. Is it blow them to smithereens? Something else. It's blow them to smithereens. You know, just the way he delivers his lines.
Or even when Snoke was dead and he was like, our supreme leader is dead.
Yeah.
And then Kylo Ren chokes him and he's like, yes, supreme leader.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, I could see Snoke, or I could see Hux figuring it out and maybe even getting some proof and then trying to figure out a way to overthrow Kylo Ren at the open of Nine. And it may hit the wall really quick. But I could see that as a scenario. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised because all through this movie, Hux always refers to the army as his army.
Yeah.
Even once Kylo Ren takes power, it's Hux's army.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he built it. Granted, his father built it.
Yeah.
He took over. But, no, I could definitely see that. And then I think it would come down to just Kylo's just too powerful.
He can't stop. Yeah, he doesn't have any...
Like, the only way he could get him was doing like he did, where he was about to just pull out his pistol and shoot him while he was down.
Right, and not paying attention. I mean, otherwise, only other way he could do it is if he were to turn to the rebellion and try to join forces with the rebellion to overthrow, which would be quite a twist. I don't know. Would the rebellion even trust Hux? The rebellion would throw Hux in prison for war crimes immediately.
Yeah, because him and his father have this whole idea behind the First Order that the rebellion is anarchy. Like, the resistance, the republic, the rebellion, freedom is anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires order, hence the name First Order.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why troopers are not given names. Mm-hmm. They're numbers.
Yeah.
Like, because if you have a name and you have a personality, then you're not falling in order.
Yeah. So Leia maybe dies of natural causes between 8 and 9. There's some tribute. She's referenced and paid some level of tribute to her in the beginning of 9, but it seems like that's the only way they're going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I can see Poe Dameron becoming the leader of the rebellion at this point.
That's what he's been groomed for.
Maybe with General Dameron.
And that's why, you know, Leia's hard on him. Mm-hmm. That's why Holdo is actually the opposite kind of leader of Poe in that she does everything on the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to be a hero. She doesn't want people to remember her name.
Yeah.
And then also, people who get mad at her character not forget, you know, Poe wants her to tell him the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Poe just got their entire bomb squadron and half their fleet knocked out because Leia told him to retreat.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And then at the end of the movie,
mm-hmm.
when Finn wants to fight, Poe's the one that says, no, we're not going to win. We need to retreat.
Yeah. You can see the maturity there. And then we're going to see that even more with all the characters. We're going to see this maturity.
Mm-hmm.
The character I was most disappointed with, and I liked I've always liked the actor, and I liked him in Force Awakens, but I was disappointed that I thought we saw more maturity with Poe Dameron, and more development with Rey, but I thought we saw the least development with Finn in terms of, like, he was still seemed like he was making some of the same choices and mistakes that he made in Force Awakens.
Yeah, and.
So that disappointed me a little bit.
It's not his fault. I feel like they didn't have anything of real merit for his character to do in this movie. And
right.
I almost feel like him and Rose, their whole stuff on Canto Bight, it was almost like we can't like write this character off because people really like him.
Right.
So let's give him something to do mm-hmm. that doesn't involve what the two main storylines are, which is
yeah.
Battlestar Galactica style, like the First Order fleet following the other ship, and then Rey and Luke. So you have that main storyline. Well, I guess we'll give him this little side project. That way we can at least say he wasn't just sitting around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I never felt like it was his fault. I just felt like it was what was written for him. Certain times you can take
something. They obviously didn't want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So hopefully he'll have more to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we got to see his reconnecting with Phasma, which I know is going to be another thing. And that surprisingly, a lot of people haven't talked about Phasma because I think there's so many things to talk about. But how Phasma kind of again went out, sort of.
She, like I said, she was not going to get beat one on one by him,
and that's true. It didn't happen. No, it took other forces helping him, including.
And then he sucker punched her.
Yeah, that worked. That it took an arsenal to take her down. Is she dead?
I think she has to be.
Yeah, cause she went into that pit. It was a fires, and you know, it just didn't seem like there would be a way to. It would be hard to bring her back.
Mm-mm, yeah.
In that respect, I liked how that part of the helmet was torn off. You got to see a little bit, like her eye looking. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. So, oh wow. Thoughts and advice. No, agree or disagree. Agree or disagree first, before thoughts and advice. I got some agree or disagree for you. It is I Vader, the king of the saber, a slayer of Jedi, and nothing they say is I'm splitting your body in layers, surveyors are saying their prayers, the greatest I swear, and you? Wanna be player, you're not on my level, the rebel purveyor, dismantled you, battles you, shattered your armor, and mentally battled you, leaving you
shackled and lost. I'm winning no matter the cost. The boss, I've gathered the greatest and shattered in squash. I'm flatter than battering, as I grow madder, I'm splattering walls and galls is useless. Think quick, do you wanna do this? Ask George Lucas or Luke Slim's roof. You're an emo Sith, an embarrassing bore, and be honest, you sucker killed Harrison Ford.
This is for y'all out there, for your asses. Thoughts and advice, or I keep wanting to do thoughts and advice. Agree or disagree? All right, here it is. Number one, much has been made regarding Yoda's appearance in Last Jedi. We didn't get to talk about that. But despite his return, we did not see Obi-Wan resurface. Now, here's what Rian Johnson had to say. Believe me, man, I would have loved to have had Ewan McGregor in the movie, but it was just a matter of storytelling. The original relationship with Obi-Wan... Obviously, if Alec Guinness were still with us, that would have been made sense. But he never saw Luke ever interact with... We never saw Luke interact with Ewan McGregor, version of Obi-Wan. So there's less of an emotional connection, and might have seemed a little odd, he says. Would you agree or disagree that this should have no impact on a Force Ghost cameo of Obi-Wan in Episode 9? In sort of a Return of the Jedi fashion, like we had talked about in that last episode, as it would likely not require any dialogue or interaction between Obi-Wan and Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker.
Agree.
Yeah.
Because this was a interaction between a Force Ghost and, you know, Luke Skywalker, physical being. So they even brought back puppet Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the prequel CG Yoda.
Yeah.
Because there's it was... I love what he said. It's better storytelling. It would almost take you out a little bit because Mark Hamill has never interacted with Ewan McGregor. He mm-hmm. has interacted with puppet Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked it. I thought the Yoda scene was one of my favorites of the film. When you saw Yoda's...
Well, when I saw his ear and
yeah.
he was walking up the tree and then he summoned Force Jumbo Lightning and...
Yeah.
Burned it, and he was original trilogy Yoda. You know, he was joking, and he was, you know, read them all, have you? Page turners, they were not.
Oh, it was just great. It was great. I mean, Frank Oz just knocking it out of the park, and to me, that was one of the highlights of the film. Loved it. That's definitely a nod to the old Star Wars, the original Star Wars fans, to bring mm-hmm. that back and give that to us. I loved it. And I think it made sense that was just a Luke and Yoda moment, that there mm-hmm. was no Rey around at that point for this to enjoy that. Okay, I got another one for you. Now, this is we'll take a break, go away from Star Wars for just a brief second. Many websites have put out their list for the top TV shows of 2017. I know one of them being Consequence of Sound, or friends over at Consequence of Sound put one out. Okay, however, we're seeing a lot of these lists where people are leaving out House of Cards. It would seem this is due to the Kevin Spacey issue. Would you agree with that? Do you think it's just cause for leaving him out off of the best of, or leaving the show off the best of the list? Do you think that's enough just cause, the Kevin Spacey issue? Would you agree or disagree with that?
Oh gosh. I mean, granted, I would also have to see what other shows are on those lists, because I have my lists, and while I love House of Cards, mm-hmm. regardless of what Kevin Spacey did or did not do.
Right.
I mean, when my buddy asked me, like, my top shows of 2017, and I watched all of the new season of House of Cards, it didn't pop up.
Yeah.
With all the other stuff that's out there, with
yeah.
Game of Thrones, Preacher, Stranger Things.
There's a lot of shows. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of shows between cable and streaming and... the very various different places you can get TV shows.
I also wouldn't put it past places to not put it on the list because, I mean...
Would it make your list with an asterisk saying...
If I had to build a top 10, it would be in my top 10.
Yeah, and apparently they had a great season in 2017. Yeah.
No, it
wasn't like it was a down season.
Mm-mm.
And they had had a down season previous.
And to be honest, I felt like... Robin Wright has been stealing that show for the last like two seasons anyways.
That's what a lot of fans have been saying. So if they figure out a good, clever way, because now we know they're going to do one more season without Kevin Spacey. They wrote him out of the season, and they're going to figure a clever way to do that. I'm sure they're going to have to kill him off. Again, it'll be one of those sort of things where they probably will do it off camera. They'll reference it as the season opens, but But yeah, it seems like it was left off, and it seemed like, well, is that strange for this show to be off a lot of top 20 list?
Mm-hmm.
So you agree with that? That's the reason why it was left off?
Yeah, because I would put it in a top 10. It's not in my top 5, but I'd put it in a top 10.
Yeah, yeah. So this is interesting now that we've watched kind of Mark Hamill was not totally on board, at least initially, with how they went with the Luke Skywalker character in episode 8. There's a conspiracy now going around the internet that people now are saying that Disney might not have told Mark Hamill that he was being killed off at the end of the film. Would you agree or disagree with that conspiracy theory? Maybe they didn't want him to know, also for spoilers, but also maybe they got mad about the publicity and how he was talking about the film.
I would disagree because I bet they told him, so we're not going to use you much at all in Force Awakens, mm-hmm. like hardly anything. We're going to be like 30 seconds. The Last Jedi, the name of the title is about you.
Yeah.
Just like Return of the Jedi was.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to die basically saving everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to come back in 9 to be the mentor.
Yeah. And he will be back. You would have to think, right?
Yes.
As a Force ghost?
Definitely. Definitely.
How much in the film, how many scenes is a Force ghost? Is it a cameo or is it a supporting role?
No, it's more than a cameo.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling he's even going to show up to Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Because he already told him, see you around, kid.
Yeah, that was brought there. Do you think that the internet being so split on the film could possibly hurt his chances of getting nominated for an Oscar more than help?
No, I think the fact that it's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, you think that would be, if he doesn't get the Oscar nomination, it would be more of that than anything else. Do you think he's going to be left out of Oscar?
Oh, yeah.
You think it's just too much competition this year?
Too much competition, and the Oscars typically don't lean any, like, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
out of all superhero sci-fi fantasy films, Heath Ledger's the only person to ever get nominated, let alone win.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think as many superhero and sci-fi fiction movies we've gotten over the last 15 years, there's only been one nomination, let alone win.
In recent years, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go further back. Alec Guinness got the nomination, right?
He won an Academy Award for another film before he ever did Star Wars.
He did win an Oscar for another film.
Mm-hmm.
Bridge on the River Kwai. Yeah, that's right. He was in that. And it's funny, a lot of people forget, he comes back as a Force ghost, Alec Guinness version of Obi-Wan, in both Empire and
Jedi.
Jedi. He comes back, and this is after already knowing, now we know that he really wasn't crazy about the films.
He thought it was silly.
Yeah, and he almost didn't do the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took some courtship from George Lucas to get him on board for it. And then the fact that he did the other two films was, they must have paid him a lot of money to come back and do two more. I mean, even as the Force ghost.
Well, and points, as they like to say in Hollywood, which is a percentage of the profit.
That's what he got on New Hope, right?
Yeah.
Points. Yeah. So he made a killing on New Hope.
Oh, yeah. Like his estate probably is still making tons of money on that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it was a gamble that film, if it somehow didn't go the right way, and it didn't hit, of course, it ended up taking over the world overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably, it's kind of a deal like then getting Harrison Ford to come back and do a sequel.
He got some points.
Yeah, he was given a deal to come back and do the one film, which is why they weren't going to do 3 no matter what with him, even if he was willing, because they were like, this is going to be a cost of fortune.
Yeah, because I want to say he made like $20-25 million. Mm-hmm. Off the top,
yeah,
plus a percentage,
yeah.
So
also he could buy planes and crash them.
Yeah, he's really good at that.
Yeah, buy the planes and crash them, and just like the real Han Solo in real life. Can you believe he's going to do another Raiders, another Indiana Jones? Do you think that's going to be? They're going to be able to pull that off?
It's going to be tough. I want to say the way they have to do it is they need to make it a transition movie to where it's him as like old Indy telling a story, about himself younger, and have a younger actor actually doing that story, and you just flash between him telling the story.
To go back to like early indie, like
I mean, story. I heard things like Chris Pratt and other people mm-hmm. rumored for it, but yeah, I think because he's too old to be running around in caves,
yeah, doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Unless they also the other route they could go is they could go back to Last Crusade kind of approach, where maybe
he's the Sean Connery.
He's the Sean Connery,
but old they kind of tried character. That. With the they crystal did. Skull, with the, making Shia LaBeouf his
the
kid.
Young kid on the motorcycle, his son that come they find out he had the son.
Yeah,
yeah, they did kind of try that. So to do that again would be,
yeah, no, I think they're going to just try to recast.
Or here's another one they could go maybe like a Lethal Weapon type approach where there's a maybe it's not his son but there's another kind of young kind of buck that's a new character that they come up with.
Yeah, they could do
they
that.
They can concoct and that he. Is trying to go and retire, and then he's being dragged into this one more find or search mm-hmm. for a relic that's very dangerous, and this is like his last. So he convinces him to do one more before he retires, or maybe pulls him literally out of the retirement home yeah. to do one more because he's the only person that has a connection. He had done it. Maybe it was one left thing was left on his resume he always wanted,
right.
didn't get to get. He was kind of already retired. He's on the beach retired, and so-and-so comes and looks for him.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt as a different new character.
Could be.
So that could be a way to do it. I mean, it would seem like you'd have to have someone that he can shadow, a younger,
mm-hmm.
that he could shadow to where it's not all leaned on him to carry the film. Because then otherwise you are going to literally have like the boulder's going to catch him this time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can outrun the boulder this time.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And the snake will give him a heart attack
mm-hmm.
or a stroke at this age because he already didn't like the snakes to begin with. But I do think with Spielberg and Disney, they're together on this. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know like Star Wars, they want that to have a continuation. They want to take that brand and have some sort of Raiders of Lost or Indiana Jones continuing universe.
Right.
Whether they do this film and then they have a spinoff, which... Like that scenario would allow for a spinoff, and then your scenario where it's him going back and telling the story, and then a younger person playing the part could also reset it, like they did with Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
where they have a reset with a young person playing Kirk and a young person playing Spock. They could have a way of yet they had Leonard Nimoy included in it
right.
to explain that it was still part of the original Star Trek universe. So, well, even though it was a different universe,
yeah,
it was. But in storytelling, it was still connected in the way it was connected. So, all right, for thoughts and advice, talking about canon, what's canon or what's not canon, what's connected to a universe and what's not connected to a universe in the Star Wars world, I have determined from my research that the Star Wars phone sex hotline commercial is still canon.
Oh,
with Star Wars Now. It was canon and it's still canon.
Wow.
Here's a look. 1-900-HOT-JEDI.
Lonely, are you? The hottest Jedis in the galaxy are waiting to talk to you. But it doesn't stop there. My friends want to chat, too. No, Jabba's not here right now.
So this is, you got to go back and YouTube this. If you watch this or listen to this show, go YouTube 1-900-HOT-JEDI or Star Wars Phone Sex Hotline on YouTube. It's Sarah Jean Underwood, I think, is the actress that's doing such a great portrayal of some of the Star Wars. So this one is the Jabba's sidekick, henchman.
Yeah, Bib Fortuna.
It's a sexy version of Bib Fortuna to give you a visual that's on the phone right now talking to the caller, to the 1-900 hotline. Sexy Admiral Akbar walking in lingerie, and then we have the sexy
Tusken Raider.
You want me to put my lightsaber where? No. Call me. Call now, you will. Day wanna party?
Not all girls meet minimum midichlorian counts. Not available on Alderaan or Coruscant.
So there you had, at the end, they have that. They put up the number you call. It's
not available on Alderaan
it's
or Coruscant.
Back up here. It's
1-900.
1-900-HOT-JEDI, and it goes to say 3 galactic credits per minute Long distance rates apply. In between stars, it says adults only. Tatooine and Dequar only.
And then you have Misa, Galak. Card.
Oh, the credit cards that you can use to charge for this service.
Aura Dillium,
Galactic MasterCard, Misa, which is their version of Visa. It's Misa. And the other one's American Express, but it's their parody of
American Express. It's the old VHS quality.
Yeah, it's kind of blurry, so it's hard to tell what they did for the, Galactic card, and then Misa for Visa, and then Alderium. For Discover. And then I don't know what the Express one says. But yeah, long distance rates apply.
Mm.
We can dial up 1-900-HOT-JEDI. They had a sexy Yoda there at the end too.
Yeah.
Which was the part where they go. Let's see, where I gotta back up just the Yoda.
You want me to put my lightsaber where? Oh, no. Call now, you will.
There it is. Call now, you will. As she waves her hand, mm-hmm. does the force powers to draw you in. So, yeah, there it is. Still canon.
Still canon.
The 1-900-HOT-JEDI line is still canon with the new Star Wars. It was not taken away by Disney. At least in my mind, it wasn't. it still exists in the. That was. You think it was a real thing or was it a parody? Like, did it really exist?
I hope it was a parody.
At the end, they show a Playboy logo.
Yeah, I know.
And so it indicates to me that there was more here at the end. There was like a commercial.
Oh, see, well, she's got other spoofs.
So it said, yeah, Playboy, Super Mario in real life with Sarah. Okay, so this actress.
So I guess she works for Playboy.
Yeah.
Does spoofs.
It might have. It was back during when they had the Playboy channel, which I don't even know if it's still in existence now. But they had these parodies, and this actress was Sarah Jean Underwood, and they had one called the Lost Star Wars Auditions. Go behind the scenes with Sid Wilder, Super Mario in real life with Sarah Jean Underwood. That's another one to dial up sometime, is to see their Super Mario. This was probably around the prequels were out, so people were talking really big on Star Wars again, and obviously the production value looks like it. Somewhere in the 90s.
Yeah.
With the VHS quality of the video and the tape. So there it is. Still canon. The 1-900 sex or Star Wars phone sex hotline.
Ugh.
There it is. Did you have ever seen that?
No, I had not.
So kind of a nice little surprise there for you. Talking about something you're going to walk out speechless
yeah.
for a while. It may have to digest.
Yeah, before you're going to have to digest that one before I go see it again.
Yeah, before he goes see it again. Rewatch it. Oh, man. Johnny Lightfoot, I want to thank you for joining us for number 54.
Thank you.
And again, have you been able to conceal and not tell your friend? Is you still your roommate, the guy, the big Star Wars fan, is your roommate?
Yeah.
Who works for UPS?
I have been able to keep it down.
Yeah, was it harder this time than it was previous? Or
yes, because I wanted it's like Force Awakens. Like I wanted to talk about like cool stuff. This mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about like what did you think of this? What did you think of that?
Yeah, his roommate, right?
Yeah,
he works for UPS, so he works nonstop during the holidays making mm-hmm. deliveries, and it's busy. It's busiest time of the year, and I mean this is his crunch time, so he doesn't get a break until literally Christmas Day.
Yep.
So that's finally when he gets to go see Star Wars.
Yep.
And I mean, he probably could have gone to like a midnight screening, but how tired would he be at that?
Well, getting up at 7 to go.
On the night of, on a Thursday, and going to see it, then trying to get up the next morning at 7? No, no. So you want to go when you're awake and you're rested and you can enjoy the film.
Yep.
So he has, just like with Force Awakens, he had to hold back from his roommate
yep.
and not talk about Star Wars for...
This is my vent.
To get it off your system, yeah. To get it off your chest. So there you go. And we had well over a year ago, Johnny predicted the demise of Luke Skywalker, correct?
Yep.
And then I reissued that prediction, and there he was. We did it again. Pats on the back.
Boom.
There it is. Everyone have a great day, hour, month, second. And peace.
Later.
lied.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.